The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
If you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. We'll read the text for you this morning and then preach a message on Matthew that I hope will be a blessing to you. While you're turning, I was going to tell you a COVID joke, but 99.3% of you wouldn't get it. So I'll just let, that's going to sneak up on you. Tomorrow about noon, you're going to get that. All right. Seriously, how many of you got that? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you didn't get it? Raise your hand. You're not going to admit that, are you? Okay. A couple of you did. All right. All right. Well, God bless you. Those that got it, explain it to everybody else. Okay. I told that at the National Sword of the Lord Conference, boom, nothing, got nothing. And my wife said, don't you ever tell that again. But anyway, I did, and I hope you enjoyed it. All right, let's look, please, at verse 9, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, Matthew, the outcast disciple. Matthew, the outcast disciple. In verse 9, it says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. All right, let's pray together, and we'll ask the Lord to bless and help us, and then the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the blessed privilege we have to open the eternal word of the living God. And Father, I pray that you will be with us this morning. Give us ears to hear. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit of God to be upon this service. And I pray that you will help us to see Matthew and to get a little better insight as to what happened to him when the Lord Jesus passed by. And so, Father, help us now. We need your blessing. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the man who penned the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew was a publican. Now, let me clarify, that's not a republican. That's a publican. And that word means that he was a tax collector. And that means that he, a Jew by birth, was considered a sellout. He was considered by his fellow countrymen as working for the enemy. They would not have approved. His fellow countrymen would have made him or looked at him as an outcast because he had sold out to the Romans. The oath that Matthew took was not taken in a Jewish court, but instead was taken in a Roman court. And his money, the money that he earned as a tax collector, being paid to him by the Romans, was seen by the Jews as tainted money. So much so that his tithe would not even be accepted in the synagogue. His neighbors and even family would have considered him to be the equivalent of a moral leper. And he would not have had friends among his fellow countrymen. His only friends would have been those who sold their souls to Rome just as he did. You say, well, why would he turn his back on his own people, and why would he go to work for the Roman government? Well, he did not have to be a publican. He was a publican because he chose to be a publican. And I think this shows us that Matthew had a certain rugged strength about him. He did not care what men said or what men thought. He did not care about any of that at all. But then I want you to notice in our text verse that one day Matthew had something happen in his life that would change him forever. The Bible here says that Jesus passed by. That changed everything for Matthew. His whole life just turned upside down. And isn't that usually the way it happens? I know it happened like that for me. I got saved when I was 16 years old. I was a hippie before I got saved. You remember those creatures, right? I was a hippie before I got saved. But the Lord passed by, spoke to my heart, and when the Lord spoke to my heart, everything changed. I had to get new clothing. I had to get a haircut. I had to get new words in my mouth. I mean, the Lord had a great deal of work that he had to do, but praise the Lord, that work was eventually accomplished, and the Lord changed everything for me. Now, that's usually the way it happens. Now, folks, I'm sure, you think about this now, I'm sure that a lot of people on this day that we're reading about when Jesus passed by, a lot of people passed by Matthew's tax stand. They passed by his place of business. And when they did, they did not see a man. When they passed by, they saw a criminal. They saw a crook. They saw one that they despised. But when the Lord Jesus passed by, Jesus saw a man. Those others saw only a despised tax collector. They saw an outcast, a sellout, a traitor to his own people and his own country. But when Jesus passed by, according to verse 9, he saw a man. Now, this is interesting. I want you to look carefully at verse 10. In verse 10, we read, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Now, notice here in verse 10, Matthew tells us that it came to pass that one of these tax collectors had a banquet, and they invited the Lord Jesus as the guest of honor. Now, Matthew does not tell us that he was the man that hosted that banquet, but Luke tells us in his gospel that Matthew was the one who hosted this banquet. And so back in Bible times, it was not uncommon for uninvited guests to stroll by someone's house when they were entertaining, when they were having an event, so that the nosy neighbors could look over and see what was going on. And so when the Pharisees came by Matthew's house, saw all these other tax collectors whom they regarded as sinners sitting at a table and the Lord Jesus sitting in the midst of them, oh, they didn't like that at all. And they began to complain and murmur that Jesus was eating with sinners. Oh, that was forbidden. And so So it's interesting to me that Matthew does not tell us he was the one. Luke tells us he was the one, but Matthew does not. Now, that's the story. And now I want to draw just a couple of things out of the story for you. First of all, I want you to notice that Jesus saw something in Matthew that no one else could see. Jesus saw in Matthew what no one else could see. Everybody else looked at Matthew and they saw an outcast. Everyone else looked at Matthew and they saw a man they despised and considered to be a complete sellout and a reprobate. But Jesus saw a man who could be greatly used of God. When Jesus looked over and saw Matthew, he saw some things that nobody else could see. You see, the Lord knew that Matthew was such a logical thinker. The Lord knew that he was a man who could organize his thoughts and stay on track. And like he did with this wonderful gospel that he penned that stays on theme from beginning to the end, presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from the standpoint that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He saw a man who could convince the Jews that the Lord Jesus was indeed the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. You say, well, preacher, how did he do that? Well, he would quote 19 Old Testament books, and he would weave those quotes from those 19 passages of Scripture into his gospel as he told our Lord's story. Over and over and over, Matthew says, this is written that it might be fulfilled. This was spoken that it might be fulfilled. And this is a phrase that Mark and Luke, the other two synoptics, Mark and Luke never used at all. But Matthew would weave the Old Testament into the life of Christ, and he would prove that Jesus was the promised Messiah sent from the heart of God to be our Redeemer. You see, the people saw a traitor. They saw an outcast. They saw someone they despised. But when Jesus looked over and saw Matthew, he saw a faithful servant. I wonder what the Lord sees when he looks at us. I wonder what the Lord sees when he first spoke to our hearts. You know, it just amazes me that the Lord can use any of us. But he does. And the way that he can do that is because he sees what others cannot see. I went forward when I was 17 years of age. And I told the pastor that I was surrendering to the ministry. And he looked at me and he said, are you sure? Seriously, that's what he said to me. Are you sure? The first church that I pastored, it was on the other side of town from where I grew up. And when I went to have a meeting with the deacons in the church, I walked in the door and there was my eighth and ninth grade history and geography teacher, Mr. Hicks. And I got scared when I saw him. It literally scared me because I was a terror in his class. This was back in the day when they would paddle you if you misbehaved. And my name was all over that paddle that Mr. Hicks had. He was left-handed, and he could hit you with that paddle, and it had these little holes in it, and he would hit you with that paddle, and then he would flip it with that left hand. Oh, it burned like a bee sting. And I just thought, oh no, I'm sunk right here. Mr. Hicks is on this deacon board. I don't have a chance. And so I walked in, and he smiled from ear to ear, came over and hugged me, and he said, I cannot believe it. And I said, yeah, me either. And he said, a bank robber? Yeah, I could have figured that. A thief? Yeah, I could have figured that. A rabble-rouser? Yep, I could have figured that. But a pastor? I said, I know God is a God of grace, isn't he? And boy, we had a time laughing about that. But let me tell you something, folks. If God can use Matthew, an outcast, if God can use me, an outcast, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here, if God could use Dr. Atkins, an outcast, I want to serve notice on you, God can use you. God can use you. The question is, will you allow God to use you? Did you ever think, go back, say, 8 years. Go back 8 years. Go back to when you first went into, let's say, the sixth or the seventh grade. Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, think that you would be sitting in a Christian college preparing to do something with your life for God? You see, the Lord sees in us what others do not see. Let me remind you that the Lord Jesus said that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. And if God can forgive all of our sin, and if God can make us one of his own, then God can certainly change our hearts and use us for his glory. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice that Jesus called, but Matthew had to choose to follow. Jesus called, but Matthew had to choose to follow. You see, just like the day when the Lord spoke to my heart or to your heart, when the Lord spoke to you, you had to make a decision. Am I going to follow the Lord or am I not? You see, the Lord saw a man that he could use, and that's why he called him. And he came looking for him, and he found him, and then he called him and said to him, follow me. Now, the rest is up to Matthew. He can say yes, or he can say no. Matthew holds his own destiny in his own hands. And folks, is it not the same with each and every one of us? You see, Matthew could have said, no, Lord, I'm not going to follow you. I think I'm doing pretty good here as a crook. And so I'm going to just stay here, keep taking money from my IRS into my IRS booth. And I'm going to keep making this good living and scamming money off the top and overcharging people on their taxes. I think I'll just keep my job and enjoy my wealth. Thank you, Lord. But he did not do that, did he? No, sir. We are told he arose from his desk and he followed the Lord Jesus. And you know, one of the things that I find interesting is that once Matthew joined the band of disciples, he was not the one among the disciples who kept the money. He did not keep the money bag. It was Judas who kept the money bag. He walked away. Is my point. He walked away from his old ways. You know, usually the guy who has the experience is the one that gets the treasurer's job. You know, you go into a deacon's meeting in January and the pastor looks around and says, well, we have to have a treasurer of the board. And everybody looks down. They thought the pastor said, shall we pray? But no, he didn't say, let's pray. He said, somebody needs to be the treasurer. And so after a little while, the pastor says, okay, let's do it this way. How many of you can count to 10? And the first one that raises his hand is appointed to be the treasurer. That's usually how it works in the church. But here, Matthew said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in it. I mean, he made the choice to let all things pass away and have all things become new. He made the choice to follow Jesus. And the Lord then blessed him and used him in a way that he probably never imagined that he could be used. And notice that Matthew became a great soul winner right off the bat. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, look at verse 10. The first thing he did was he went around to what friends he had who were other tax collectors, and he invited them over to his house and then invited Jesus to speak to them. So the Lord spoke to the others. You see, Matthew wanted his fellow tax cheats to know the Savior just like he did. And what better way to introduce them to the Master than to throw together a banquet and invite the Lord Jesus to be the guest of honor. Isn't that something, folks? So Matthew, right off the bat, becomes interested in seeing others come to the Lord. Then there's a third thing I wish you to see. Number three, Matthew made sure we understand the gospel is for needy sinners. Matthew makes sure that we understand the gospel is for needy sinners. Matthew went on to tell us in verse 10 through verse 13, as a means of getting us to see and to understand that the Lord Jesus came to save sinners. Look at verse 11, it says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, Matthew made sure that we understood why Jesus was sitting there. The Pharisees walked by and they said, oh, your master, he eats with sinners. And Matthew makes sure that all of us here in 2020, that still today, we understand why Jesus was sitting there. And he was sitting there because he came to save needy sinners. You know, folks, that's why he saved you. You were a needy sinner. And he passed by one day and said to you, follow me. And so that's our job, that's our responsibility, is to make sure that needy sinners understand the gospel. It has been said that when Jesus called Matthew, he forsook all of his position, all of his wealth, and any future possibility of growing any richer. He gave it all up. And the only thing that he brought into his new life was his pen. The only thing he brought into his new life was his pen. And with his pen, he wrote for us and the world the story of the life of Christ. And it is certainly a gospel written by a man with a business mind. You see, he puts the life of Christ together in such an orderly, business-like fashion. The sermons in one group, the parables in another group, the miracles in another group. But notice that he puts his own salvation experience in the section where he is telling us about Christ's miracles. I think that Matthew saw it a great miracle that someone like him, with his greedy, sin-hardened, wicked old heart, could be the recipient of such grace and such love and such forgiveness as what the Lord gave to him. And he told us a huge number of other miracles that Jesus performed. The calming of the storm on the sea. Raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. The many healings of sick folks and the blind and the deaf. Matthew tells us all about the wonderful miracles that Jesus did. But right in the beginning of telling us all about them, he tells us the great miracle that Jesus did in his life when the Lord stopped and looked over to him and said, "Follow me." I'm telling you, folks, God knew what he was doing when he called old Matthew. The outcast disciples. Can you imagine? He knew he was an outcast, but one of his own, the Lord Jesus, stopped and compassionately looked at him and said, "Follow me." I want to ask you a question this morning, young people. Let's come to today. I want you to use your imagination with me for just a moment. I want you just to use your imagination. I want you to imagine that you're a Matthew. I want you to imagine that you're a Matthew. And with your imagination, I want you to see in your mind's eye, I want you to see the Lord Jesus walking down these aisles and looking at you. And he comes down and he makes his way across the front. And then he goes all the way back looking at each and every one of you as he goes. He goes out those doors and comes in those doors and walks down looking at everybody. Everybody. And as he looks at you, he smiles and compassionately says, "Hey, outcast, follow me." How can you say no? How can you say no to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College. Empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.